Maybe there's someone in here this morning who's having difficulty sleeping at night. God wants you to be set free. God wants you to sleep well at night. God wants you to have perfect peace. God wants you to experience His joy. God wants you to have His eternal life. He wants you to be saved, set apart, filled with His power. Amen? You don't have to live in bondage anymore. If you will give your life to Jesus Christ. I didn't say that you would give Him your spare change, give Him this bit and that bit, but not that. But if you will surrender your life to Jesus Christ, He will transform you. He will set you completely free. I am a living testimony to that today, that God has completely set me free. And it was by His goodness, by His grace, by His mercy. It wasn't because I worked for it. It was because I yielded and I surrendered my life. You see, it's that which you hold on to, which you hold back from God, that's going to keep you entangled and snared. The enemy just wants a little piece of you. Just a little compromise. A little sympathy for the devil. And he dresses it up to look so good. And that in your natural mind you're thinking, man, I can't let go of this. If I let go of this, man, look what I'm going to be missing out on. I've discovered that whatever you give up for God, you'll never lose. I'm talking about you'll always come out better on the other end of it. What God will give you in place of the old mess is His glory and His presence and His goodness in your life. Are you with me today? God's not asking you to give a portion. It's not until we come to the place of repentance that we change our mind and we say, I'm no longer going to live that way. I'm no longer going to entertain death. I'm no longer going to enjoy death. You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Yes. You got to come to the place where you're through with the old thing. The old way. Amen. It's God's mercy that brings us to a place in our lives where we're miserable in our old ways. If I hadn't hit bottom, I wouldn't have known where to turn. When you're at the bottom, there's only one place to look, and that's up. And if you want to just play the game when you need to, when it's convenient, when you need to impress somebody, well, God sees right through that. It's an unclean offering. He doesn't accept it. God doesn't like hypocrisy. He knows when we're playing. He knows when we're acting. God's looking for sincerity of heart. He's looking for a people who will be His own people, that He will separate, that He will spare from His judgments and His wrath, that He will wash and make white, amen, clean, that He will put His Spirit in and raise them up that they might sit with Him, hallelujah, in His kingdom. And that one day they will rule and reign with Christ, hallelujah, over the earth. God is gleaning, He's reaping a harvest. of human beings, of souls. And the rest is going to be wrapped together and it's going to be burned in the oven. Are you hearing me today? God's not asking us to give Him spare change. God's calling all of us to repentance. Repentance means I'm changing my mind. I'm turning away from the way I was. I'm turning away from death and I'm turning to Jesus Christ and I am surrendering my life. And when you surrender your life in sincerity, when you're willing to give it all to Him, then you can have the full package, folks. He will set you free. He will break the curse. Amen? He will set you free from demonic oppression. He'll chase the devil out of your life. He'll give you righteousness. He'll bring you into right standing with Him. He'll give you peace and He'll give you joy in His presence when you surrender. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from evil. We cannot compromise, folks. We cannot play patty cake with the devil. You've got to kick the devil out. Amen? You've got to be determined that you're no longer going to be a slave to sin. But I'm going to yield my life day by day to Jesus Christ. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to build up my spirit man and I'm going to be mighty in spirit so that I will be able to stand up, amen, on the inside. Some people are strong on the outside. They may have a big physique. They may be muscular and strong. And they may put on a good act even, you know, on the outside. Lest anyone should see what I'm really like. But that's not true strength. True strength comes from your heart. Amen? God wants to strengthen the internal part of us so you can stand on the outside. When you just try to patch things up, you're working from the outside in. Only Christ can fix you. You cannot fix yourself. Amen? We cannot fix ourselves. Our part is to obey. Our part is to say, yes, Lord. When we say yes, His promises are ours. When we're found faithful and little, then He can entrust us with much. Problem is, sometimes we're not faithful with even the little bit. And we want much. Not until you grow up into it. Not until you're ready for it. You know, as I get older, I get more forgetful, and I forget to remember. Does anybody forget to remember? Yes. People say, "Well, remember this." Well, what if you forget to remember that? I put things in my calendar so that I have a reference and I can look at my, what's going on today? Oh. But what if you forget to look at the calendar? Once in a while, or forget the calendar altogether. One of the things, folks, that we cannot afford to forget, and that is the Lord. Amen. The enemy of your soul wants you to forget God. He wants to so distract you and I that we get preoccupied with lesser things and we take our mind off of Him. we forget the Lord. So I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Here Moses is commanding Israel. He commands obedience. Chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes. Verse 1. And the judgments which I teach you. Statutes would be laws. And the judgments are ways that we can discern or separate between good and evil. That's one interpretation of that word, judgments. So laws and ways that we discern judgments between good and evil, which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. How many know that it's very easy for us to add to or take away? Because we don't happen to like what it says. Or if we want to, again, fashion God to fit into our own agenda and into our own plan or our own way of thinking, then we'll add to. We'll say, well, God is like this to me. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. Interpretation, Satan, false god. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Do we want to be wise and understanding? For what great nation is there that has called, that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Verse 9, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. How many of us are teaching our children and our grandchildren? How many would agree with me it's important that we do so? We can't depend on the Sunday school teacher. Chapter 5, verse 1, Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. Chapter 6, verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Excuse me. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And verse 10, and so it shall be when the Lord God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hone out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, verse 12 says what?
Beware.
Lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Chapter 7, verse 1, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and all the Ites. He says, seven nations greater and mightier than you. Verse 2, and when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. No sympathy to the devil. What was happening in the natural has a spiritual application to us today. When it has to do with our enemy, we have to completely cut him out, shut him out, put him down. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 3, nor shall you make marriages with them. Don't come into agreements. Don't come into covenants with people who are not believers. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 6:14, not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That means do not marry people who do not carry the faith of Jesus Christ. For they, verse 4, will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Wow. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love, on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. See, God takes the least, God takes the weak, God takes the foolish, God takes the unlikelies, and he does extraordinary things to them. What is God saying? He's saying you need to tear down every evidence, okay, of sin and the devil. You need to deal with every bit of it in your life. Because if you do not severely deal, I want you to hear this, with sin, it will always come back and be your master. If you don't put sin to death, you can't walk in life. You put sin to death by starving it out. You put sin to death by ignoring it. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
By turning away from it.
Yes.
Not going there, speak to the hand, devil.
Amen.
And by seeking the Lord. It's not enough just to say yes and no. We must know what to say yes to and know what to say no to. In other words, if you're going to say no to sin and you're going to determine to live for Christ, it's not enough just to have a list of things to avoid. Yes, we know that there are things that God disapproves of. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
But it's not enough just to avoid things. If we don't turn to the Lord, if we don't seek Him, if we don't build up our spirit man, then it's only a matter of time when the no's will become yes's again. It's only a matter of time when your flesh, your sin nature, will begin to dominate you and you'll be right back in the same problem and sometimes even worse than where you were before. You say to us, seek your face. My heart replies, your face I'll seek. When we press into God, when we move in towards Him, when we worship in spirit, amen, when we worship our Lord, hallelujah, there's a release of God's glory, His presence, His power into our lives. It's called grace. His grace. We are overcomers because of the grace of God. Because of His provision. Not because of our willpower.
That's right.
We've got to shift away from self-effort to complete trust in Jesus. Complete dependence on Jesus. It's where we bow ourselves before God, where we submit ourselves to God. Then we resist the devil and he flees. If you don't submit yourself to God and you try to resist the devil, he's going to beat you up.
Amen.
And you're going to be tormented by him until the day comes where you submit yourself to God. Where you surrender your life to God, He's going to continue to torment you until you surrender your life.
Amen.
Yes. If you try to play halfway, if you try to ride the fence, as you say, if you don't want to live a lukewarm Christian experience, you're going to be miserable. How many know what I'm talking about? You can't play both sides. You can't be this person when you're around these people. And that person when you're around these people. Anybody can put up a front. Anybody can put on a smile and come to church. The real test is out there in the world. And you're not going to stand up on the outside unless you're standing up on the inside. And the only way you're going to stand up on the inside is that you're filled with the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
That you surrendered your heart. And how many know you need to do that every day? We need to submit ourselves every day. A lot of folks come to church and they receive something from the Lord and they go and they leak out. And then they might, depending on the measure, they may be okay for Monday or Tuesday, and by come Wednesday, they're crawling. Even if they can make it, some of them won't even make it back. The devil's duped them so bad, beat up on them so bad, they won't even come back to church. He's lied to them. He's beat on them. He's just told them, you don't stay away from those people. You'll be judged. I mean, no, we're a non-judgmental church here.
Amen.
There's one judge, and he's a righteous judge.
Amen.
And if we make any judgments, it's only going to be what God has given us discernment about. Amen. Not intellectual, looking at things on the surface.
That's right.
Boy, has anybody ever been mistaken by appearances before? I mean, you thought a person was a certain way because they looked a certain way?
Yes, sir.
Yep. So you got down below the surface and say, man, they're not who I thought they were. You see, the Lord is preparing a people, isn't He? But the Lord said in verse 8, but because the Lord loves you, Moses was speaking, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage. What's this speaking of? Today, that's talking about you and I coming to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You and I being broken free from the bondage of sin and death, amen, and brought into God's kingdom. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. And He repays those who hate Him to their face. To destroy them, He will not be slack with them who hates Him. He will repay him to His face. You don't want to be on the wrong side of God. Amen. You don't want to be an enemy of God. You know, the Bible says that all of us at one time were enemies of God. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Why? Because God can't look upon sin. And the only way to become a friend of God is to come through Jesus Christ. He paid the price for our sin. Amen? He cancels the debt. He purchases us with His own precious blood. He's the one that qualifies us for God's presence. And we become a friend of God. You see, what the enemy wants to do is make us enemies of God again. I want you to hear this. He wants to make you and I enemies of God again. Why does he want us to listen to him? Why is he tempting? Why do Christians often even get it sometimes harder than others? Well, because the others he's already got. He just leaves them alone. Why is he after you? Because he wants to rob, steal, and destroy. He wants to steal from you. And he wants to make you an enemy again. You can be an enemy of the cross, folks, by doing despite unto the Spirit of grace. By ignoring the Holy Spirit and doing whatever you want to do because it feels good. You know what? Jesus said, for those who knew their master's will and didn't do it, it'll be harder for them than the ones who didn't know. The Lord is preparing you and I for eternity. He's preparing a bride. The church is a bride. We are a chosen kindred or generation, a chosen people. A chosen tribe is what that means. We're a royal priesthood. Amen? A holy nation. God's own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of Him. Are we doing that? Do our lives demonstrate praise? Do we manifest the praises of God, not only in what we say, not only on Sunday morning, but the way that we live among the people who are outside the covenant? Do we manifest that praise? Are we bringing praise and glory and honor to the Lord? Or are we bringing reproach on the Lord because of the way that we live? Are we being hypocrites? That's good. The Lord wants us to remember Him. Because when we begin to forget God, and when we get our eyes off Jesus, it's at that time when we begin to slip away. The longer He can keep you off balance, distracted, the longer He can keep you preoccupied with lesser things, and to keep your mind off the Lord, the more damage He can do. He begins to establish a stronghold even in Christians' lives by separating them from fellowship, away from God's people. Amen? Because a sheep that is separated from the fold is most vulnerable. We are our brother's keeper. We need to take care of each other. We need to pay attention to who's here and who's not here today. Amen. Folks, I depend on you. Amen? I can't do it all. But we need to reach out. We need to love. We need to check on each other. Check, see how they're doing. I forget to remember. It's not intentional. But we cannot afford to forget the Lord. Jesus said at the table, that Last Supper, remember me. Why do we do this? In remembrance. Lest we forget. He said, when you've had your fill, when you've entered into the land that the Lord your God has given you, He says, chapter 6:11, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hone out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget. One of the greatest tests for any people is prosperity. Amen. Is when things are going our way. When life is comfortable, when life is easier. Amen? It's one of the greatest tests that we face. Is will we be faithful? And folks, I want to tell you something just to slip this in. Giving is one of the best ways to keep yourself in check. Amen?
Yes.
Whether you'll be obedient to the Lord or not.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
I struggle with the same things that you do. I struggle sometimes with the busyness of life. Anybody that knows us knows we're not materialistic. So that's not really my weakness, except when it comes to guitars. I'm just kidding.
Amen, brother.
One wife, many guitars. So, yeah. But what the enemy does with me often is he gets me so busy and so overly busy with just trying to keep everything together that he robs, you know, me of the time that I need to spend with the Lord. And the Lord has to remind me, don't forget. Don't forget. This is always about Him, isn't it? It's first about Him. You know, it's not about ministry, folks. Ministry is a byproduct, if you will, of a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All true ministry results through an abiding communion with Him. When we take of the Lord's Supper together, it's not just some lifeless ritual. What we are saying in this is that we are recognizing the Christ that we serve and we love, and His presence here with us today, and that we are members one of another, and the Lord is present with us right now in this place, and our communion was with Him and with one another. We do this so that we stay focused. We remember what the Lord has done. This is at the Feast of Cana, it was marital wine, folks. Jesus turned the water into wine. Marital wine is very important because it is you and I that we're taking the cup together. And we're saying that we are brothers and sisters, we are family. But we are espoused to Jesus Christ. We are His bride. We are taking the marital cup. It was the third cup. And we're saying with Jesus, as He said, this cup is a new covenant in My blood. When we take the cup, we're saying, Lord, I am giving myself to You fully. I will keep myself pure. I will be a chaste virgin. I will wait for You. While He is away, we will be faithful to continue on the work that He gave us to do. We will keep ourselves pure. We will not whore after other gods. Amen? We will not compromise with the devil. We will destroy the works of the devil. We'll have nothing to do with the devil. Are you with me? We'll have nothing to do with the sin nature. It dies every day. I am keeping myself pure. I am keeping myself separated, holy unto the Lord. I am a priest unto God as well as His bride. I'm also a king. I've been given a kingly anointing that I may represent my King. Amen? The one who's in heaven, I may represent Him here on the earth. And we will effect change. We will shift things. We will make differences. Amen? In our society, in our world. We are world changers, folks. We are world changers. Because we have the God of glory, hallelujah, in us and with us.
Yes. Yes.
And wants to work through us.
Yes.
In mighty ways.
Yes.
Yes. God is calling you and me to consecration. Get rid of anything in your life that is a distraction to you. that will prevent you from running the race, amen, unhindered, of fulfilling your destiny unhindered. Don't allow the enemy to distract you away from your divine call, your purpose for which you were created. There is nothing more important. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Jesus said, "He who does the will of my Father abides forever." When we take this cup, folks, in remembrance, amen, we're saying that I am identifying myself with Jesus. That everything I have, everything I am, is His property. I belong to Him now. And He says, because He cannot lie, that He's made an everlasting covenant with you. That everything I have and all I am is yours too. So we keep ourselves pure and unspotted. Amen? Because Jesus is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming for a bride. He's coming for people who are ready, who are prepared. He is coming for those who are looking for Him. Who are the ones who are looking for them? The ones who have forsaken this world and they have nothing else to live for except Christ. Are you with me?
Amen. Yes.
Jesus came that we might have life. Life to the full. I don't miss anything of the past that I gave up for Christ. All the things that God said, that has to go, that has to go, that has to go. Every time I let it go, I always got something better. Mm-hmm. There's so much here. Hallelujah, Jesus, we love you. When we talk about having communion, we're communing as friend with friend. Amen? True communion is not a formal ritual, but it's when we share heart to heart. When we sit around at this coffee table, all right, at the table and we have coffee or whatever, and we just share in life together, and we share from heart to heart. That's communion. God wants us to have communion, amen?
Yes.
With Him and with one another. To recognize we are the body of Christ. He didn't just say, "Remember what I did for you," but "Remember me." There's a difference there, isn't there?
Yes.
We can say, "Lord, thank you for the cross," and we're thankful for that. That's important to remember and be thankful for the cross. But what Jesus really wants from you and I is that we will remember Him. He's saying, "Acknowledge me. Know me now, in the present, in the moment. Intimacy in the Spirit." He wants us to know Him now in this. If we miss Jesus in the communion, we've missed the whole point. Are you with me?
Yes.
If you don't have an encounter with God over this, it's you've missed the point. When we come together, I come together because I want an encounter with God. And I encounter God also through His body, through you. I see Jesus in you. I reap the benefits of being with you. And you reap benefits from being with me. We're a body. We need each other. We have an encounter with the living God when we come here. We have real communion here. We have true communion here. And we need to guard that. We need to protect that. We need to keep that devil out. Amen?
Amen.
So that the love of God will continue to be shed abroad in us. And that our communion will be unhindered. If there's an offense in our hearts, we must repent of that. If there's unforgiveness, would you bow your heads this morning? If you're here today and you have unforgiveness in your heart towards someone who's hurt you, do you know that unless you forgive that person, unless you release them and cancel the debt? Oh, you don't know what they did. They owe me for that. No. We need to remember what Jesus did when He died on the cross. We were responsible for putting Jesus on the cross. It was our sin that put Him on the cross. He died for you. If God forgives us, then we must also forgive one another. It's not an option. If you want your sins forgiven, you must forgive others. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Another way is forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, as I spoke that, the Lord brought somebody to your mind. Now's your opportunity. Just say, Jesus, give me the grace to forgive this person. Give me the grace to release this person. And right where you're at, you can say to that person, I forgive you. You may not feel it, but just say, I forgive you. I choose as an act of my will to obey God in this. I forgive you. I release you. Speak to that person. Say, I release you. I cancel the debt. You're free to go. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. Go ahead, receive forgiveness today. The Lord forgives you. You can have a clean heart. You can have a conscience that is clear. God wants you to be free. Free indeed. God wants you to be set free from bondage. God wants you to be set free from the tormenting powers of darkness. But you must forgive. The Bible says that those who refuse to forgive will be given over to the tormentors until they learn the lesson. If you release those people today, as a deliberate act of your will, then God will release you. Receive forgiveness today. In Jesus' name.